Awesome. Well, we'll get started. Hopefully those pens and pencils will show up. This first half, we're looking to kind of just talk about the importance of reading scripture. So that'll be kind of lecture-based, and then we're going to get into how we're going to do that through the SOAP method. You should have two pieces of paper on your desk. And so, but before we get started, I just want to kind of get a gauge as to where you guys are at and just ask a couple questions. First one being, why might it be important to study the Bible? Just based off of your own experience, what have you seen? Why might it be important? Feel free to shout out an answer.
What was the question?
Why might it be important to study the Bible?
Just the word of God.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Just to be like spiritually fit so that we can share the word of God. Also.
Yeah, absolutely. Being equipped to go out. That's good.
Mine's to fact check false preachers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit, so that's good. That's good.
We can't build a relationship with God if we don't actively learn about him.
Yeah, yeah, knowing who he is, who he says he is, knowing his voice. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Got one?
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
No,
you're good. All right. What are some common hindrances or hesitations that keep people from studying their Bible?
Oh, wait. I was going to say the phones. And
yeah,
stuff.
No, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say that like, some people have bad experiences with church.
Mm-hmm.
Churches
yeah, people. Yeah. Church hurt and... Yeah, it's good.
For some people, it kind of feels like a chore.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not excited about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. And that, yeah, the mindset of, like, here's this God that we want to spend time with, it can, if you're not careful, can seem like a chore. Of like, oh, man, I have to do this to get this out of the way, which isn't how the Lord wants us to view his word or his time. But, yeah, it's good. Yeah.
I think another one could be, like, the issue of trusting accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true, especially in that kind of, in my experience, I've seen that with like church hurt as well. They'll kind of combine those two things of like, well, I was hurt in the church, so I'm kind of done with God. But then there's all these like discrepancies that people say about the Bible and all these things, and they kind of feed into that too. So, yeah. Good stuff. What might be the end goal of a Bible study for you guys? So you're with a group of friends, you're in community, or you're just by yourself. What might be the end goal coming together and studying God's word?
Personal application to my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Depending on if you're reading even like Numbers or Old Testament stuff.
Yeah.
There's still stuff in there.
Absolutely.
That is current day value.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I know.
To be more equipped to talk to others about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like that's our goal is to go out and make disciples, right? And so it's important that we are equipped to do that. Not just going in blind, but being equipped and God is gracious enough to give us his word. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah.
I think just like learning how to like love people, like in the mm-hmm. body of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. So huge, especially in today's day and age, right? It's like love is seemingly so sparing and the world gets darker and darker. But on the flip side, us as believers, like we're being equipped. So our light should shine brighter and brighter. And we do that by just constantly abiding in the word. So that's good. Yeah, all good, great, solid answers. You guys are knocking it out of the park. We'll just basically talk about, just why we read scripture. Before we go about how we do it, it's important to understand and just build upon the foundation as to why. And so I have five reasons. There's so many more reasons, right, than just five. But I picked out five for us to go through today as to why it's important and why we should read and study the Bible. And so, point number one. Oh, also, we have pens over here, too. So, yeah. You can, yeah, just take one. You don't need it. Just pass it down. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, you can just sit it down wherever. Yeah, perfect. Awesome. So five reasons why we should read and study the Bible. So the first reason that I put down is the Bible is reliable and without error. The Bible isn't just a book that you have to believe based solely on faith that can't be proven. On the contrary, there's so many historians, both Christian and non-Christian, that support the Bible. I think about how there's many scholars that are believers that would talk about the back when Jesus was being crucified on the cross, how the sun went dark for 3 hours, right? And now a non-Christian historian who based on writing down the accounts would say, yes, this did happen, but here's an explanation that's not biblical, whereas Christians would have a biblical explanation for it. The point in that is that it did happen, right? And so even with that regards, because there's some historians that would say, yes, the sky had darkened, but there was an eclipse. But during that year, during that specific time, during Easter, there would have been no availability for it to be an eclipse. And so we find that out years later through science and through study. But it proves that the Bible is trustable, that it's without error, that it's reliable. We also see things scientific. I love that Lu Wing was teaching because you get like a lot of this stuff from him. But when you read in Leviticus, how it talks about how life is in the blood, and how I think about guys like George Washington, who was ultimately he passed away because he was bled out. They thought that they can get rid of the sickness that he had by just draining all of his blood. And so here you have guys that are leaders that we see, unfortunately, not taking the Bible at its word. You know, and we get things like in Leviticus also the importance of washing your hands under running water, which wouldn't have been a thing that scientists found until thousands of years later than they figured out. So the Bible is ahead of science in some regards, but it's ultimately because science and the Bible don't contradict one another because God created science, right? And so, yeah, it's scientific. It supports scientific. It's without error. Some common objections to the Bible will be, oh, yeah, it's like, it does have errors. And so if you do have that, if someone does ask you that, I would ask you to ask them, where do you find these errors? In my time of studying the Bible, in my time of being here, being equipped, the errors that people will like throw around, it's like, oh yeah, the Bible's full of contradictions and errors, are following the manuscripts that we had, which when you're writing down a manuscript, you're writing a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, and the errors that they find is someone will write in the beginning, instead of in the beginning. And so those are the errors that people think that are going to destroy the Bible, and it's really just a spelling error. So yeah. And point number two, the Bible is relevant and always will be relevant. And us as humans, you know, we're constantly advancing when it comes to things like technology and medicine, renewable energy, AI, you know, communications, our smartphones. But there's two things that don't change that make the Bible relevant. The first thing being God. Everyone say with me, immutable. It's a big word, big Bible college word for you. There you go. But this word means unchanging over time or unable to be changed, right? God cannot change. His character, his attributes will never change or switch up on us, right? As God says that he is faithful and he is slow to anger, we will be in a place in our life, well, maybe we'll be tempted to not believe that. We don't have to feed into that temptation because we know that God cannot change. He cannot go against his word. So when he says that he is something or he says that he will complete something, he will always do it. And so God tells us in his word in Hebrews 13 verse 8, tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yesterday being the past, today being the present, and forevermore being the future, right? A good, practical, very, very pastoral piece of advice that I'll leave with you guys is you'll find yourselves in seasons where you're not sure how the Lord is going to come through, and I would just encourage you to look at the past faithfulness of Jesus, look at how he's been faithful in your life before, and look to the promise of that he will always remain faithful, and he'll always get you through this season, even if it might not be in the way that you're thinking, right? And that'll help you combat and grow your faith in the present. And so God God will always reveal himself in his word, and his word will always be true. And so God doesn't change, and the second thing that doesn't change is human nature. And so again, humans are always advancing with all of these things, but Ecclesiastes 1:9 tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. It's a part of this human nature that we have, you know, that we're born with, that causes us to seek desire and love and satisfaction in places other than God, and in all of the wrong places. And the good news is God knows that, right? And so he's given us his word, and he teaches us how we as a community dedicated to Jesus, as people who want to follow Jesus, how we, through his word, through the Bible, how we can be equipped to find satisfaction and lasting joy. And I, again, like, this is just proof that the Lord is even in this conference. I didn't even talk to Lu Wing, and he literally was talking right on it, right? About having a lasting joy outside of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And that can only be found through Christ. I mean, I think about the times where I wasn't walking with the Lord, or even when I was walking with the Lord, but I had my desire, and I kind of held on to that desire more than the Lord, and just how destructive it can be, right? But then on the flip side, when you're pressing deep into Jesus, being equipped, and then eventually giving, the Lord gives you the desires of your heart, you know, exactly what Lou was talking about with these desires. They're not inherently bad. It's just the Lord wants to use them and cultivate them and submit them under his authority, and it'll be truly a blessing, not just for yourself, but those around you, and God will be glorified in it. And so it's huge. God knows and teaches us through his word. Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus is resisting the devil in the wilderness and actually quotes Deuteronomy. And he says, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And to have this abundant life, we must stay in God's word. Another instance of scripture is Jesus is teaching and teaching very hard teachings, right? Teachings, and his disciples, not the 12, but his disciples begin to leave because they're just hard teachings, right? And Jesus turns to Peter, and he says, like, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter responds beautifully, and this should be our heart, but he says, where else have we to go? For you have the words of everlasting life. And that should be the heart that we have as believers, is we understand what the world can offer us is just not enough. Because the world didn't create us, God did. But what he has to offer us is exactly what we need. And so we'll go through these next three relatively quick. But number three is we read and study the Bible. Or as we read and study the Bible, it helps us distinguish truth from false. And so I love what you had mentioned earlier about how to distinguish false teachers, right? We live in a world where truth is trying so hard to be subjective, to be relative. We have phrases like live your truth, or whenever I'm out witnessing to someone, I find the hardest conversations to have is when someone says, yeah, that's your truth, but I have my truth. And so pushback on that is we read that God's word is truth. Right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. Right? And so we live in a world where everyone wants to have their own truth and make sure that you have your own truth. But objectively, God's word is truth. And that's what we should be submitted unto. And so kind of like with that, point number four is the Bible helps us distinguish God's voice. I know for a lot of times in my life, I'm often faced with difficulty in making decisions, whether small or big. And it's so huge that God not only wants to speak to us, but delights in being with us. And so a huge point in this is knowing to distinguish God's voice from our own voice, from the enemy's voice. And a good distinction, obviously, is through his word. Again, God cannot change. So he won't tell us something in our heads, or whether we feel like the Lord is just impressing this on our heart, and it'll contradict. It will never contradict his word. And so that's a good good way to know if it's from God or not. And then again, praise the Lord for Lou, because just as he said, it's like after you run it through God's word, you're praying about it and seeking the Lord. If you're spending time with the Lord, your goal in even praying is submitting your will unto God's will. And so when you're doing that, the Lord is going to meet you where you're at. To seek me so that I may be found. And so this is just a huge way in order to know, like, Lord, like, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me in this moment? What are you saying to me in the small decisions so that you can be better equipped when you're seeking the Lord for a big decision, whether it is coming to a school like Bible College or figuring out where to go or where to work, like things like that, you know. The Lord has something to say in all of those things. We just have to be obedient. We have to talk. But we also have to listen. And he has something to say in his word. So point number five, the Bible equips us to love and serve God. By loving and serving God, it looks very different than just this idea of infatuation, right? We can have seasons of life where God is just so, shows up in so many beautiful different ways, and we're just in love with him, and we're reading daily, and we're just devoted, and it's easy. But there's also seasons where it's really hard. You know, you go through things in life, and you're affected by sin, we're affected by the fall, and we're not immune to these things, to these hardships in the world. But the Bible shows us how we can still show our love and our affection to the person who saved us, to King Jesus, right? As he's called us to follow him, and he gives us the way to follow him. And, you know, we can only go so far with just the generic or like the basic things without reading his word to be equipped for the specific things, right? There's very specific things that the Bible has that we can show that we love God and serve him in a specific way that you wouldn't find on your own. Like Jesus, when he's teaching his disciples, he tells his disciples, do not have these long, wordy prayers just so people that can hear you. But we live in a day and age where saying the right things or having the right words or being well-spoken is so well-received. So if you don't have God's word, if you're not in God's word, you can fall easily into the trap of being more influenced by the world and still be a believer, but miss out on these good principles that Jesus has, right? And so again, it's super important that we are equipped in loving God in the way that he wants to be loved, by fleeing or running from sin and running to Jesus. And just real quick, by a show of hands, who learns best via experience? So you need it to be done, or it's like, all right, I just need to do it to get my hands dirty. Hey, that's good. Okay, I'm not alone. I was kind of scared when I asked that question. I was going to be the only person. And that's good. Again, that's a God-given gift. But I find in life and in God's word and in the stories that are in the Bible that the one thing you do not want to learn via experience is the effects of sin. Right? Sin is devastating, and you don't want to learn from experience, but you want to read God's word, see these stories of, how God redeems these people, but just how much of an effect that sin truly has and how it brings devastation. And you want to use those to learn via reading these stories, and let that be your learning guide, let that be your example. And so to recap, the Bible is important to read and study because it's reliable without error. It's relevant for today and will always be relevant. It helps us distinguish truth from false. It helps us hear from God. And it equips us to love and serve God. So that, in summation, is just a few reasons as to why it's important to study Scripture. And now we're going to get into what that looks like. And so in front of you should be two pieces of paper. One of it should say devotionally meditating soap method, and the other one should be a passage of scripture. And so what we're going to do is, some of you already mentioned that you knew about it, but it's called the soap method. And again, I've been at Bible College for about 3 years. I've been a believer for 13 years, and so I have had the privilege of studying the Bible in so many different ways, and there's so many different contexts, but this right here really helped me bring the Bible to life. Like, it became real in my life as I began to study this way. And so, yeah, we're going to do that right now. And so basically, SOAP, the SOAP acronym, the SOAP method, stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And so I wrote it kind of up here. But even before we get started, again, in studying this way, I wasn't going to write this on the paper or have it there because you guys have asked too many questions, but I will label it soap, but with the silent P, because I'm not going to say but soap. Because prayer is so vital, especially we live in a day and an age where we're constantly go, 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 do, and it's so contrary to hear the voice of God. Like, he wants us to be still and to be with him and to slow down. And so the first sort of thing that we're going to practice right now is just slowing down. And so for 60 seconds, we're just going to sit still and just be with the Lord, just slowing down, being intentional, and maybe just sitting up straight, just taking a couple of deep breaths. Just being still with the Lord. There's a lot of things that are constantly racing in our mind, and this is just a exercise of faith, trusting that the Lord holds your mind, he holds your thoughts, that as you want to be here with him, he will honor that and he will bless you. And so let's just take about a minute. Even if you're comfortable, open your hands, maybe close your eyes, sit up straight, just take a couple of deep breaths and just breathing the breath that Jesus gave you. It says in Genesis that we were made from the dust of the ground and the breath of God. And so just through each breath, just thanking Jesus for the day that he's given us. Yeah, Jesus, we just thank you so much for just today, Lord. We thank you for the ability to read your word, Lord. Thank you that we're not in a space where we're persecuted just by reading your word, Lord. Thank you that we can openly read together in community, Lord. Thank you that you have something to say in your word, God, that you desire to speak to us, Lord. So may you just give us hearts to receive what you have to say and to listen to you, Jesus. And so we love you. We give you this time and ask that you would be glorified within it. Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into all truth. We love you, Lord, and we just pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. If you take anything from the soap method, again, that's why I wrote prayer twice. So I put prayer in the beginning, prayer at the end, because it's so huge, again, and just slowing down. But scripture. And so you'll see that we have a section here, and we won't go through every single one of these details, but we will go through some of them. And so this is the part where I get to not talk as much, and you guys get to interact with one another. And so I actually want you guys to break off into groups of two or three, just right where you're sitting. That'll be good. And so we're going to have one of you guys read the passage, and then we'll go from there. So you guys break up, and you're going to read the passage. It's Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. So you three.
Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, for he was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. 25, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has to come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatty calf. Verse 28, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatty calf for him? Verse 31, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It is what right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found.
And then when you guys are done reading, go ahead and just slip a thumb up just so I can know. It's good. See you guys. Perfect.
But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed your fatted calf for him.
No, you guys are good. Keep going. If you read it, one person should have read it once. So, you guys are done. Yeah. Oh, only one person from the group needs to read it, because then you'll get into this next part. That's okay. That's okay. It'll still work. We'll change it a little different. So the next section is the person who didn't read it. The other two, or the other person in the group, is going to try to retell the story without reading the scripture. And so this is why it's important. What we're doing here is we're reading scripture and we're repeating it, because we're trying to get it in our mind. It takes a little bit, you know, like we'll listen to a song, we'll repeat it over and over and over again so we can remember it. And so this is just a way that we do that, is by challenging ourselves to, one, read it out loud, because our minds are so full of thoughts, and reading it out loud, but then also trying to just retell what we had just listened to. And so you guys can do that. And so you guys, just all three of you, come together and just try to finish, put it, turn the verse over, don't read it, and just try to get the story based off of memory and see how far you can get.
Okay.
Sound good? You guys can do that.
Thanks.
Yeah, the last part.
How are we feeling? How'd it go? You guys make it through?
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, so that was, we just did A, which is read out loud, B, retell out loud. Now I need a volunteer. I need a brave volunteer. Someone who's got a good reading voice. I saw your hand first. Everybody else, stand up, please. Everybody else, get up. You can stand up, too, if you want to read it. So the next section that we're going to do is we're going to walk it out. So as he is reading, you guys to... whatever that looks like. So when he says, then he said, a certain man who had two sons, you need to act in the way that would show that there's two sons. And we're going to do this in the entirety of the scripture. And I'm doing it with you, so don't worry. And everybody's looking at me. But again, this is getting the scripture in our minds. You're fast. You're good. You raise your hand, so you don't have to do it. Unless you multitask and read and act.
I'll read.
Okay. Awesome. Whenever you're ready, brother.
Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pod that his swine ate, and no one gave him any. But when he came to himself and said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And when his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and went away. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat, that I might take merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with cowardice, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'"
Come on. Good song. Beautiful reading, beautiful acting. Again, little silly, but again, the premise still applies. And so if you're doing, whether you're acting it out, whether you're reading it out loud, you're reading scripture, you're getting it into your mind, you're thinking about it. And so the cool thing is, as you begin to do this, there's other things that you can do in it, like replace the he, she, them with the names of those people. Or if you're reading a Proverbs and he's talking about, like, place your name in there or pray through a psalm. These things that will help scripture just be very real to the present moment that you're in right now. You'll do things in the details it says of scripture, like understanding the context. It is so crucial that as you're reading the text, as you're reading scripture, that you do not take a verse out of context, because it can do more harm than it can good. And we have the luxury of having the entirety of scripture at our fingertips, with our phones or with our word that we have. We can read a little bit above, we can read a little bit below, and the passage jumps to life. It becomes the entirety of the story in which that you have. You'll do things like word definitions. You'll look up what a specific word means. We have softwares called Logos, which is, it's done a lot through the school, and it's also, some of it is free. There's an app called Blue Letter Bible, where you can take a word and see the original meaning of that word. Obviously, the original text wasn't written in English, you know, and so understanding the heart behind it, or seeing a different emphasis in Hebrew, like what they meant by this term, can really captivate you and bring you deeper into the text. Right now, we're just going to look at observation, but again, to close out in scripture, looking at the situation, the potential problem that you see within scripture, because again, like, the Bible can seem not real to us, but these are letters that are written to specific people that are going through things, and they're written for us. They're written for our benefit, right? But you got Paul that's writing letters from prison to this church that is being heavily influenced by a bunch of smart-talking people that aren't following Jesus, or you talk, again, like with Paul talking to Timothy, like these are letters that they are writing to people, but the Lord and his divine grace and mercy has preserved these for our benefit. Okay, and so just understanding and reading scripture in this way and slowing down and acting it out helps us understand, like, this is a real thing. And so we'll get to observation by just asking a couple questions. And I'll even break it down, make it super simple. The first thing says, what can I learn about their character? And so what can you learn about the character of the prodigal son? From based on the story that we just read, what are some things that you can learn about their character? Yeah.
He recognizes his wrongdoings. Mm-hmm. He's very remorseful for what he's done in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's repentant. That's good. Anybody else? Yeah.
Like he tried living his life the way he wanted to.
Yeah.
Obviously came to God and changed.
Yeah, yeah. He squandered his riches. He thought that what he knew was better than his father. And so he went to go test it out, and it just wasn't. It wasn't true. That's good. Yeah. What about the character of the father? What are some character traits that we learn based on the father's actions that he does? Yeah, I saw your hand first.
Like joyful.
Yeah. 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 Joyful to see his son. Sorry. No, you're good.
He's very merciful and just like welcoming.
Yeah.
Despite everything his son has done.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's good.
The father will let his sons do what they want.
Yeah.
Make them do their own choices.
Yeah. He respects them and their wishes to choose autonomy, to choose what's right and wrong for themselves. Yeah. Did I see that hand? Oh, yeah.
He's knowledgeable. He knows what's right and wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
He was forgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. How so? How was he? How did he show that he was forgiving?
When his son came back, he just like
yeah
forgive him and gave him again his place as his son.
Yeah, absolutely. Showed a very different type of like, oh, I'm not gonna forget this, but no, I'm gonna clothe you and welcome you back in and celebrate the fact that you came back. Yeah, absolutely. Did you raise your hand?
I was gonna say forgiven.
Oh, gotcha. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the brother? What about the other brother? Not the prodigal, but
jealous.
And the older. Yeah. Jealous. Yeah. Absolutely. How so?
Because he had lived his life right the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you just let him come back?
Yeah. 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 Very interesting. Anybody else? Characteristics?
It's full of envy.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said, jealousy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, like, very prideful.
Mm-hmm.
Of, oh, I'm so great. I'm way better than this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't give me anything.
Yeah, here, look at all the stuff that I did. When I did all these things, you didn't do anything for me. Yeah.
How is it wanting his own view of justice?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe like, hey, like, he didn't necessarily do anything to me, but this is wrong because how can you do this because I have a certain set of standards, you know? So, yeah. Good stuff, good stuff. And so some of the other questions are like, what did they say or do that, again, would confirm their characteristics? Or what choices did they make? What choices did other people make in response to the original choice? What results or impacts from things said or done or choices that they made? So basically looking at these characters and seeing what can you learn from them? Again, we talked about earlier the devastation of sin. Right, but on the flip side, we can see how when God equips someone to be obedient, you can see the fruits of that within the story, but within many other stories in Scripture. And so we'll close out with these last two application. And so today, do we see people saying or doing the things that were done in this parable? Do we see characteristics matching things that are done? I see a lot of head nods, so we'll leave it open. Where do you guys see this at, and what does it look like in today?
Also, you see within yourself, I distance myself from God a lot.
Yeah.
So, I'm just not going to leave, take one, just leave.
Yeah.
There, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Try to chase after himself, seeking after God and like
absolutely. Being in, kind of being enticed by the world,
yeah.
You know.
With a lot of us, we go away from Jesus or we do our own thing, mm-hmm. but Jesus is always waiting. He's always waiting for us to come back.
And yeah.
Amen. When we come back, like the Bible says, it's like a party in heaven.
Yeah.
It's the good news. It's like fantastic that he decided to come back. And then negatively, there are people who, oh, when they see people come into the faith, they are judgmental towards, oh, they were a drug addict.
Yeah.
Been in a car crash before, whatever.
Yeah.
And people are judgmental in that way.
Yeah.
Towards those people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The context of even this passage is Jesus is sitting down with sinners and tax collectors, and the Pharisees and Sadducees are saying, "Oh, like look at how can he hang out with these people?" And so again, like when you read the context, it just brings the text to life. It's like you hit the nail on the head. Perfect example. Perfect example of like an application. It's like, and then it shows that the application that you have that you're taking from the text is the application that Jesus wanted, because he's using these parables to show like, hey, like you guys are so focused on these people, like God is sending me for them. Like I want them to be saved, not just the religious, but I want everyone to come to me, you know. But if you're in a mindset where you think that you need to be saved, like which is where they were kind of struggling with, like I'm going to go to these people because they're sick and they're in need of a doctor and they acknowledge it rather than they're sick and they're not acknowledging a need of a doctor. So that's good. Anybody else? See anything in day-to-day life, any of these characteristics?
Being ungrateful for a lot of stuff. Could be like parents or a family within the church.
But yeah.
Thinking that the world will be more satisfying than that, and then realizing,
yeah,
you know, not realizing the value of it,
yeah,
until the worst moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like scripture is written to a specific people for our benefit. How many times do we just in general throughout the day struggle with being grateful, what the Lord has brought us through, where he's bringing us to, things that he's done. And so it's always a good reminder, to be grateful. That's good. It's really good. Yeah.
I just think that people like kind of sit on the fact like, oh, I don't deserve this or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, like, we all deserve like death in the end.
Yeah.
We just look to Jesus for life.
Yeah.
And we should.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Speaks to the character of the loving Father that we have, not willing to spare his own son, and for Jesus to save us while we were still his enemies. Christ died for us, says in the word. So it's good. Yeah.
I think it can also relate to the older brother. Like, when we see other people who are like maybe new believers who are doing better than us,
yeah,
we can be jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something really wonderful as well.
Absolutely. I was waiting for that one. I was like, am I the only one that kind of struggles with like comparison? I'm like, oh man. Or like the Lord will bless somebody with something that you'll be praying for specifically, or you'll just kind of see their fruits. And kind of like a good reframing is like, you serve the same God. That the God that's doing a work in that person is doing a work in you. It might look different because you're different people, but the blessing is you guys serve the same Lord. And so, yeah, that's good. Any final application points? Awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, coming to the end of yourself, I mean, the prodigal comes back to the Father in such a repentant heart rather
yeah.
than, like, justifying, well, I took it because it was my inheritance.
Yeah.
It's like such a humbling... I deserve so much worse than yourself.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
In that heart.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and even just, again, like this is not just for a first time. This person just got saved. Like we're called to repentance daily, called to die to self daily. And like what that looks like in the Christian walk, I think we begin to sin less and repent more. You know, we begin as we align ourselves with the love of the Father, the will of the Father. There's things that maybe even when we first got saved weren't even that big of a deal. But again, as you read the word, as the Lord begins to shape you into his son and to be like an ambassador, a representative of his son, there's things that just change, you know, and repentance is a part of that. But yeah, good stuff. And then the last prayer is supplication. Communicating to God directly, anytime, anywhere, and all the time. You know, but it's funny, again, Lou... talked about this, but the idea of ask, seek, knock. Make your request known to God to help you put what you have read and observed into practical action. Like, here's the reality that we have, is it's so easy for us to read this and read it out loud and retell it and act it out and do all these things and then go on our phone and instantly forget about the things that we've talked about, you know? And so I think, again, that's why prayer is so crucial. One, to slow yourself down, but two, to ask for help. To ask, to pray big prayers. Lord, help me represent the forgiveness that the Father has. Help me not struggle with forgiving this person. Or help me come to the end of myself. Help me to be repentful. These things like that. And so we'll actually close out with that. Just go ahead and take, just another 60 seconds. Just be with Jesus in this time and pray. Just things that stood out in this text that you want to take home, whether it's that you remember the verses, that you're changed, that you represent like hopefully one of the good characteristics in here. But so we'll take about 60 seconds, and then I'll close us out in prayer, and we get to go. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for your word. Father God, we thank you again that you have made us for such a time as this, Lord, that we can get away for a Saturday, Lord, that we can slow down and just intentionally pursue you, Lord. We are hungry for your word, God. We want to be shaped and molded by what you have declared to be true in your word. We want to be shaped and molded by the working of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We want to be shaped and molded in God-centered community, Lord. All these things that you have given us, Lord, we're thankful that you have. Lord, we thank you for the breath that is in our lungs, Lord, as today was not promised, Lord, and yet in your faith, or in your grace and in your mercy, Lord, you've given us today, Lord. And so I just pray, God, just for just my brothers and sisters here, Lord, as they have had this moment with you, Lord, this small intentional time with you, God, I pray that you would show up in mighty ways, Lord. I pray through the studying and reading and meditating on your word, Lord, that you would show up in their lives, Lord, that you would be glorified within what they do, God, that you would begin to shape and bring healing, Lord, that this would be a process of seeking first your kingdom and all its righteousness, Lord, and that they would taste and see that you're good, and that they would watch as you add everything unto them. I just pray for just hearts, Lord, to be transformed into being more like you, Lord, whether it's just this passage, God, or whether it's many more passages to be read, Lord. I pray that you would just shape our hearts to reflect and represent you, King Jesus. As we have been bought with a price, Jesus, teach us to follow you all the days of our life, God. So we love you so much. We're grateful for everything that you've done, even just today, Lord. I just pray that you would just bless these guys that are going out, Lord. And again, I pray that you bless them for just giving them undivided time, Lord, to just have a Saturday to be with you, Lord. And so may you be glorified. We love you, Jesus. And we just pray these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, that's a wrap. Little bonus when you guys do the soap method. One cool thing, and this will even equip you guys to even have like Bible studies together, is when you're done with this, title what you think a good title could be for your time of studying. And so, like, if you're studying this passage, what will be a good title besides the parable of the lost son? Like, how does this, including your application, including what you're learning from the characters, simple titles like how to forgive, you know, forgiving when it's hard, trusting God's justice, things like that. So. Yeah, thank you guys so much for coming. It was fun.